This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
There's another apocalyptical prediction about to come true. Winds of death will sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 17, Bruno Mattei and Bad Movies of the Week.
Right, this is sort of like a recurring thing that we do every now and again, where it's, I guess we call it Crap of the Week, where we talk about films that we've seen, that I've seen, maybe you haven't seen.
Yeah, and vice versa, and we exactly. Just give a little précis of some of the ungodly crap we subjected ourselves to in
right.
The past week, so this
exactly.
Is another in that series, so
yep.
We'll let you begin here.
Okay, well, Chris, I gotta tell you, man, I got a doozy for you, man. This, I mean,
bring it on.
this one had my jaw on the floor. A film from 1986 called Never Too Young to Die. Never Too Young to Die. When you hear that title, you think to yourself, what, like ABC Movie of the Week or whatever?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't think of some sort of
disease
like...
Disease of the Week.
Exactly. You don't think of some, maybe this is about Lyme disease or something, you know? Like, I contracted Lyme disease on a field trip. Now I'm dying. Never Too Young to Die. Do you think of a hermaphroditic Gene Simmons from Kiss?
Wow.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Do you? I'm only familiar with Gene Simmons from his work in that Halloween type movie. His name escapes me right now.
Trick or Treat, yeah.
Trick or Treat, yeah. Well, weird that name would escape me. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Movie. What else could it be called?
Okay, so
that's the only Gene Simmons movie I've
there
seen.
There you go, man. So we got a hermaphrodite. I'm serious. Like, this is not even like, you know, this is a literal hermaphrodite.
Well,
Gene Simmons playing this evil sort of criminal mastermind by the name of Ragnar. he actually plays two roles, but I'll talk about that in a moment. And his nemesis in this is basically, it's a James Bond ripoff.
That's going to be a theme of today, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and the thing is that his nemesis is the son of a super suave secret agent played by George Lazenby, who actually
interesting.
You know, was at one point James
Mr. Bond yeah.
for one movie. In this case, though, it's John Stamos.
Well,
John Stamos from Full House, yeah. So this movie, like I said before, this is a fucking doozy, man. Never Too Young to Die. This is insane. So basically, as I said before, the movie begins, and there's just like this sort of like this elaborate ceremony where, you know, like, you got all these like, you know, 80s stereotype, like, you know, punk. Again, we always keep going back to the Warriors. Very Warriors-esque, you know what I mean? And Gene Simmons, dressed in drag, okay, is presiding over this thing. He's calling these people turd buckets and scumballs, and he's talking about his grand scheme, which is to poison the water supply of what I assume was California. I think it was taking place in California. And then we cut to a gymnastics meet in a high school. And there's John Stamos, you know, doing the on the rings, whatever you want to call that stupid, you know, what do you call that shit when they
rings?
Grab the rings?
And, you know, is there a name
or
for
the
that?
Uneven parallel bars
yeah.
and so on? And meanwhile, we're cutting back and forth to so the name of Stamos' character is Lance Stargrove, okay. And we're cutting back and forth to Stargrove Senior, played by Lazenby, and he's basically on the run from Simmons and drag. And Simmons wants his disc, okay? Like, it's all about the disc. And this is 86, so it's an actual floppy disc.
Well.
Okay? And anyway, when Lazenby dies in the hail of gunfire, you know, we cut to, like, you know, Stamos basically doing backflips in the gymnastics meet, so that's it's crazy.
It's slightly less embarrassing than his performance with the Beach Boys on the bongos.
Oh, yeah, in Kokomo, yeah. What the fuck was that about?
I don't know.
I mean, the Beach Boys. How
Aruba,
that,
Jamaica, Ooh, I Want to Take
It. Yeah. So, yeah, so, I mean, basically, you know, he's got this sort of absentee dad who's you know, who really is a secret agent, and when he does, you know, meet his maker at the hands of Simmons' character. What did I say his name was again?
Ragnar the Magnificent.
Ragnar, exactly. Stamos inherits the farm that was owned by his father. At the funeral is a character played by a mysterious lady in black, played by Vanity. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Ex-paramour of Prince.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Born in Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Whoa.
But yeah, she was a prince. She dated Prince for quite a while. I have sort of been in between like Sheila E. and Kim Basinger.
Speaking of bad drumming.
Exactly. So Vanity plays the ex-partner of Stargrove Sr. And through a whole bunch of contrivances, basically, Stamos' character, Lance Stargrove, who never saw his dad, but I guess by virtue of genetics, seems to have inherited like all his prowess with the machine gun and the karate and the backflip and so on. Luck. Yeah, indeed. I mean, they basically go after they're pursued by Ragnar, and once again, I have to reiterate, this is Gene Simmons and fucking drag, man. This is insane, okay? And they're being pursued by this guy, and then at one point, to kind of continue with the James Bond ripoff, they have this... first of all, there's this Q character. Q's the guy that provides James Bond with all the weapons.
Yeah, with his weaponry, yeah.
This is some, Asian kid, right? And then there's this M character by the name of Carruthers, okay? Now, when we first see Carruthers, he's in a helicopter talking to Vanity. And he's got a ginger, beard and hair. And I don't know if this is supposed to be
Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons.
Basically, yeah. But I don't know if this is supposed to be some sort of, big twist at the end that we would not see coming. But you cannot mistake the distinctive voice of Gene Simmons, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Carruthers, but we know it's Gene Simmons, right?
Well,
so basically,
spectacular acting tour de force.
Yeah, there he goes. So he's playing two roles. And Carruthers is like, the Ragnar, he's a character. He has this nightclub act. And so they go to this nightclub and kind of remind me of the video for Molly Crew's Girls, 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 but in some sort of post-apocalyptic wasteland or something. And this unbelievable. Simmons comes out to perform his act, okay, wearing this outfit with his gigantic pink plume of feathers from his hair, from his head, and this lace, fishnet, corset-type outfit, right? Kind of doing his best to channel, Tim Curry, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Rock Horror Picture Show. So I did a little IMDb-ing, and one of the things I found out was that this outfit that Simmons was wearing was the exact outfit that Linda Carter, TV's Wonder Woman, wore in 1980 on a variety show special she did when she was singing I Was Made for Loving You.
Amazing.
It was the exact same outfit.
So what you're saying is Linda Carter is 6'4"?
That's the thing. I guess some is, they must call in some sort of seamstress of some sort.
But at this point, Gene Simmons is sporting a B cup. But
yeah, it's bloody insane. This movie is. I can go on and on. There's more. At one point, who shows up? Robert Englund.
Whoa. Well, yeah.
We
recently read his book. Uh-huh. A lot of name dropping.
Did he mention?
I can't say I reckon he did not mention this movie.
He never mentioned Never Too Young to Die. I wonder why.
Yeah.
He's sort of like the scientific genius who basically, has the plans to poison the water supply.
Yeah, yeah.
And, there's no end to the lunacy in this movie. The scene when he reveals himself as Ragnar, when, Carruthers, takes off his wig and takes off his beard and all of a sudden, and again, this is in the 80s, right? So there's a lot of sort of, politically incorrect, sort of, homoerotic overtures from Keith Simmons to John Stamos, which is makes me think of Uncle Jesse, from Full House, and Have Mercy was all that was coming in my mind.
Yeah.
Insane. I don't know where. And the other thing too, I don't know what audience this film was intended for, because on the one hand, it was very much, it struck me very much as a movie made for kids, but then you had these
these adult themes, these weird perversions.
Yeah, exactly. These innuendos.
That was the 80s for you.
It wasn't that clever. You single entendres, basically. So, bizarre film. Sometimes you just gotta you're in the video store and you just gotta make a blind grab and you see something on the wall and you see John Stamos and Vanity and you don't even realize
that
you're gonna get a hermaphroditic Gene Simmons, but man, this was incredible. Never Drink to Die, dude, I'm so happy I saw this movie. It's crap of the week. It's a crap movie.
Nice.
But at the same time, this is the type of crap I like to see.
Speaking of a steaming heap of crap, mm-hmm. I guess there are some people who I guess they would unfairly call Bruno Mattei the worst Italian director of all time. And I think that's a little bit unfair, when in reality he is the worst director of all time, regardless of any country.
Because I was going to say, like, I mean, Italy has produced a share of bad directors. I mean, Joe D'Amato comes to mind, but now you're making a strong statement. Yeah.
He is the worst filmmaker of all time. And you could put him up against your Wiseaus, your Uwe Bolls, your Joel Schumachers, your what have you, your Penny Marshalls. He is fucking...
What do you have against Penny Marshall?
Just awful. but Bruno Mattei, a.k.a. Vincent Dawn, he's just... Not only is he can't frame a single shot, he can't color a single movie. His dialogue is, like, it makes... Most of it makes Rambo look like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Like, he is terrible on every level. And not only is he terrible, like, from a technical standpoint, he has zero ideas of his own. So he will not only rip off a movie once, he will do it 3 and 4 times. And so we just talked about Bond ripoffs, so now we're going to venture into Predator ripoffs.
Okay.
One of our favorite actors is Reb Brown.
Reb Brown.
And he was in Your Hunter from the Future, which we can't recommend highly
and
enough.
And I will keep repeating this. He was the very first Captain America.
Very first Captain America. He's a muscled meathead, and he appears in all these sort of, you know, shoot-em-up Rambo-type movies. Well, Robo-War is something I watched this week, and this is Predator channeled via Bruno Mattei. It's exactly, this is shot-for-shot Predator, where you have this gang of guys traipsing through the jungle, and it has the same ethnic put-downs and sort of lame, you know, oh, hey, you Guinea, oh, yeah, you know, you're black and I'm Mexican, blah-de-blah jokes. And, again, terrible dialogue and stuff like, I've shot it down a few of them, it doesn't take a PhD to know you got it in for me. You know, you walk like a ruptured duck. I don't know what a ruptured duck would be. And you better duck, shithead, because we're going to settle some accounts here. So, yeah, and they're set upon by, instead of a predator, because that would take a budget, by this, I guess we reviewed on the site, Rotor. So it's this sort of robot with a motorcycle helmet that is shooting at them in the jungle. And so this ragtag group of...
So hold on a second. So this is not Rotor, because, I mean...
It might as well be Rotor.
It's a Rotor-esque character.
Rotor-esque character. Yeah, okay. It's a guy with a motorcycle helmet, all dressed in black, and just shoots at them. So instead of the Predator with the dreads and the incredible, you know...
So it's almost like... Because Rotor was like a RoboCop ripoff, in a sense. So now we got... So it's like
This is RoboCop slash Predator.
Oh, my God.
In the jungle. And, again, these guys... I don't know how many rounds of ammo they have, but they shoot at everything in the jungle. Right. Anything that moves, they just expend hundreds and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. And, of course...
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second, because, I mean, we talk a lot about, like, cliches and stuff, right? And there's two cliches I love in action movies.
Yeah.
Number one, you know, the never-ending amount of ammo. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like, it doesn't matter what, you know, whether it's, you know, Rambo First Blood Part 2 or this piece of crap you're scrubbing right now. I mean, there's, you know, like...
It doesn't matter whether you're sporting an AK-47 or a 9mm. Mm-hmm. You have endless ammo at your supply. And to their credit, I guess these guys do have... You know, tons of bullets, but the bandolier.
But then the other cliche I love is the, and this you see more in cop movies, it's the useless gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like when they shoot their 6 bullets, and all of a sudden, like, oh, this gun's no more good anymore.
They just toss it,
you know? Like, every year reloading, you know?
These guns are expensive.
Exactly.
You can't just toss it.
And you're tossing a gun on the mean streets of, like, South Central LA, you know? And it's like, irresponsible policing, to say the least. But anyway,
there's more accounts to be settled in the other Bruno Mattei, this piece of crud. This was, unfortunately, the great man's last film before he, was pushing up the daisies. And it's called Zombies the Beginning. And as I said, this guy has not had, in the past tense sadly, mm-hmm. had not one original bone in his body, ripping off every bloody movie. So on our site we reviewed Strike Commando, which is a Rambo ripoff. Mm-hmm. We reviewed Terminator 2, but not the Terminator 2. It was
Shocking Dark.
Shocking Dark,
right.
But it was basically Aliens.
Ooh.
A shot-for-shot remake of Aliens, but it was called Terminator 2, and it happened to be filmed in Venice.
Which was one of the most picturesque,
stunning cities in the world, and it was subterranean. So they filmed not a lick of Venice until about the last 10 minutes. So we got here, Zombies the Beginning is a shot-for-shot remake, basically, of Aliens again. And so you have this ship... And the ship runs aground and ends up on this island
right
with these zombie alien mutant type creatures. Okay. So the lone survivor of this ship, she manages to get off this island, and she's rescued by helicopter and comes back to tell all these people, oh, I encountered these mutants.
Was she attractive, at least?
She was, yeah. I mean, I think it's Bruno Mattei's muse. I believe it's Yvette Yvonne. It was a Filipino actress.
It wasn't Laura Gibson. Renown. She's also in a number of Mattei movies, The Emmanuel.
No. And then there's a scene-for-scene remake where Ripley is trying to convince people of what she's seen.
Now you're confusing yourself because you're saying Ripley. But
Ripley from Alien. Yeah, so this is a scene-for-scene Alien remake where they see the mutants and she's trying to recount.
But is the character named Ripley?
No, but she gives the exact same speech as Ripley. Okay, like, oh, you got to believe me. I can't believe what I've seen here. And I'm lucky to survive alive, blah, blah, blah. So this is basically, aliens, but called zombies. It has the same tactical unit that goes in.
Okay.
And it's lensed in the Philippines. That goes without saying.
Yeah, of course,
lensed in the Philippines. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier the Emmanuel series. Mm-hmm. Now, Bruno Mattei is such a hack. His best movie, I would argue, is Women's Prison Massacre. That should tell you something, which is just bloody awful. That was part of the Emmanuel series of exploitative
films. That started Laura Gemser, the famous black Emmanuel, who happened to be Indonesian.
Yeah. But, in Miami Connection, we talked about a black character who claimed Korean heritage, who was not the least bit Korean. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was the same with Emmanuel. So, Bruno Mattei is just an awful director. He can't frame anything. His coloring is terrible. His dialogue is bad. He cannot do anything right in any capacity. And I don't know if I can withstand another Bruno Mattei movie. I've seen five of them in the last, 2 months. I just can't take it anymore. So Zombies, the beginning.
This is the ending.
This is the ending, yeah. Mercifully, his demise. And this film, it's almost a fitting coda to this guy's just awful career. And he just can't direct anything. He's useless. So Zombies, the beginning. Robo War is at least entertaining.
Right.
I love Predator. So, and Shot for Shot remake. Red Brown is Red Brown, man.
You can never go wrong if you see Red Brown in the film.
Yeah.
But I gotta say one thing. I mean, you talk about Mattei. I mean, Mattei is not the only Italian ripoff artist, right?
He just happens to be the most boring one.
Okay, but I mean, you gotta admire the shamelessness of these Italian exploitation filmmakers. I mean, they literally, there was not one concept that they, in Hollywood, that they never saw fit to rip off.
Yeah,
that's
very true.
I mean, one of my favorite films is, all-time terrible movie is StarCraft. We review that up on the site. That's by Luigi Cozzi, otherwise known as Lewis Coates, and that's a really, really ridiculous Star Wars ripoff, And I mean, these Italian ripoffs are great. I mean, but there's usually some degree of competency there.
Again, technical deficiencies, but overall, just incredibly boring. I fell asleep twice during Zombies the Beginning, and I guess there was kind of a neat scene where there were some humans that were conscripted to give birth to these mutant zombies, and that was quite compelling, but that was about 10 minutes worth. The rest, just eminently forgettable.
And that's the thing, I mean, I gotta say, we love bad movies, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said about, when people say, our conception of a bad movie would not be what other people would think. I think Titanic is a bad movie.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a pretentious piece of shit, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the crap that Hollywood puts out. I mean, there's a lot of Avatar was James Cameron. Yeah. Bad movies, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, when people say something like Plan 9 from Outer Space is the worst movie I've ever made. No, Plan 9 from Outer Space is one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, agreed. It's
fucking and it's so entertaining from frame one to the last frame. The passion for cinema is there. So, I mean,
there's no passion for cinema with the work of Bruno
Mattei. Well, that's what I'm saying. Technical ineptitude does not necessarily make a bad movie. If a movie's got passion, it's entertaining, it's amazing. But when a bad movie is boring, that's a bad movie.
That is a really bad movie.
Yeah, and if you fall asleep twice, then,
it took me four or five tries to get through Zombies the Beginning, and
you stuck it out, man.
I did. In the interest of this site and for updating reallyawfulmovies.com.
You see the sacrifice we make for you guys?
Yeah, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Thank you.